We welcome you to the NovaCare Complex on this Tuesday. Dave Spadaro joined by Adam Kaplan. It's Eagles Live. We hope everybody's having a great Eagles day out there as we get ready for the Chicago Bears on Sunday Night Football, football night in America, Adam. And I think everybody has the sense that this is the playoff season, and this is what it's all about. This is fun times.
No question, Dave.
And Do you agree with that, Adam?
I do, to a certain extent. But, of course, what happens during the day with the Washington-Dallas game could impact what the Eagles do. So that's something else to look at. But the bottom line is, despite the loss last week, the Eagles are in a very good position to win the division and the NFC East. So that's a good thing. I call this, I agree with you, playoff-style football in mid-December with 2 weeks left. Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, and the Eagles, look, a five-game winning streak comes to a crashing halt in Minnesota. Tough game for the Eagles. We'll talk a little bit about that and really more about how that loss impacts the Eagles this Sunday. Mm-hmm. I don't believe necessarily that 1 week in the NFL carries over to the next week, although I certainly wonder how the Dallas Cowboys bounce back emotionally. Again, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Wild Sunday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was crazy. I was listening to Harry Roseman's show, and he was talking about how they found out about the game on the plane. It's just it was 24-3 or something like that, and the Cowboys choked. But the bottom line is it's been a great NFC East kind of up-and-down season. We've seen the highs and the lows, but the Eagles are still there where they'd like to be. The bottom line is they're fighting for the division late in the season.
Right, and that's what you want to do is have control of your destiny with 2 weeks to go. We've got a lot to get to during the show. First things first, let's get you caught up with today's headlines. As we just heard from offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur and defensive coordinator Bill Davis. Offensively, Eagles looking for more points and consistency. 30 points in Minnesota, but left a lot of points on the field, Adam. I thought the offensive performance was scattered at best.
Uneven. I'll call it uneven.
DeSean Jackson, what a season he's having. 75 catches, 1,275 yards, 9 touchdowns, in position to pass Mike Quick and his 1,409 yards in receiving in a season to establish a franchise mark for a single season. Adam, this is the best of DeSean Jackson, totally energized by the offensive scheme.
No question about it. Some of the moves he made were terrific, and he's very explosive. They just got to get other guys involved, and that's what happened last week. No, I don't think they got enough explosive plays.
Defensive coordinator Bill Davis not pleased with the way the defense performed against the Vikings. Matt Castle, a red-hot day. Greg Jennings, a career day. But in particular, really unhappy with the fourth quarter when the Eagles had a chance at 27-22 to take over the ballgame. For the first time in a long time, Adam, we did not see that happen from this Eagles D.
Yeah, the offense kept them in the game, and then fourth quarter, when they had to get off the field, they couldn't. I think that, to me, was the story of the game.
And the challenge on Sunday, which we will talk about throughout the show here, Chicago brings to town an absolutely dynamic offense. Tremendous weapons, quarterback Jay Cutler, running back Matt Forte, who is the running back, the best running back nobody in the league talks about. He does everything, very similar to LeSean McCoy in that respect. And then the wide receivers are big, tall, fast, sure-handed, and they are nightmare matchups. And then you've got Forte, of course, running underneath, so we'll get to that a little bit later on. And then after practice today, Nick Foles and DeSean Jackson meet the media. With all eyes on the Chicago Bears, we're not discussing in the buildings playoff scenarios. I mean, we may, but they're not. We're talking about beating the Chicago Bears, winning game number 4 in a row at Lincoln Financial Field. And let's see what happens on December 29th. Chip Kelly said it all along. Let's see where we are on December 29th. And it looks like the Eagles will be in the thick of a major playoff implication type game against the Cowboys.
I agree. It's a playoff race. This is what you, if you were an Eagles fan, you were just hopeful. When the season started, the Eagles could be in that realm in Week 16, and here we are.
All right, we're going to take a look on the other side here as we look at the playoff picture, and it is a bit jumbled, and the Lions losing last night hurts them badly in the NFC North. That division is all wacky. The Bears at 8-6 lead the division, half-game lead over the Packers. Those two teams play in Week 17. So it's just exactly what Commissioner Goodell wants. A lot of teams involved, great playoff races, going down to the wire, and the Eagles and the Bears take center stage Sunday night.
They call it competitive balance. We call it outside parity, but I know inside the league, as they've corrected me, competitive balance. It's what you want, though. So many teams are still alive. This is what the NFL wants, and we're seeing it.
All right, Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider. Dave Spadaro here. We're coming back. Eagles Live returns in a moment as we wrap things up from Minnesota and talk about the big bad Bears coming to town on Sunday night.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' Coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' Restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 match fix chances, 5 cash bags, 4 big fours, 3 daily numbers, 2 Lego Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it.
Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
I knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Happy holidays to all you Eagles fans out there.
We welcome you back, Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan. A little word from the practice field. The Eagles missing some safeties today. Kirk Coleman out of practice right now. Colt Anderson out of practice right now. Looks like Brandon Boykin still working through the NFL's post-concussion protocol. So apparently, according to reports, all three of those players out of practice at the moment. And then Earl Wolfe, the good news, Earl Wolfe looks like he's partaking in practice, at least the part that's open to the media, along with linebacker Najee Good, who will be critical in kick coverage against another big-time return man in Devin Hester.
Plus, in sub-packages, you know, as an inside linebacker, he's someone you need for insurance. So the bottom line is, though, getting Earl Wolfe back potentially this week would be huge, not just for the injuries. Billy Davis talked about it. This guy who was on the come before he got hurt, so it'd be good if they could get him back this week.
All right, let's take a look back here, Adam, at what went wrong on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Eagles losing to the Vikings. The number's just too enormous for the Minnesota offense. Not only did Matt Cassel get rid of the football quickly, threw very accurately, 26 of 35, 382, 2 touchdowns. Jared Allen, a big day on defense. Matt Asiata, 30 carries, 51 yards, 3 run down between the tackles, touchdowns. It was not a good day. Adam, let's start first with the Eagles' offense and what kind of went wrong there. Nick Foles put up the big numbers, and I to me, this is a great indication of just how high our expectations have become for Foles. He throws for 428 yards and 3 touchdowns, and we still talk about the mistakes that he made.
I totally agree. In fact, I had a conversation with someone last night who said, you know, you watch the first 3 quarters and you kind of wonder where Nick was. Why was he so inconsistent? And then when the pressure was on, he helped lead the charge and they got within striking distance, but the defense could not bail him out. But getting back to Foles here, the problem that he had, and you were at the game, you saw this, the ball sailed on him several times. I counted at least 6 passes that were way too high. And also, and this has been something that's been happening the last couple weeks, 3 or 4 plays where they clearly held onto the ball too long. Wasn't sure either what he was looking at or what he wanted to do, and he took pressure when he didn't need to. The time and anticipation part of his game is still there, but it was not good enough. It's got to be a little bit more consistent. The accuracy problems that he had, Dave, very clear. The footwork was not great to start the game, and that was an issue. So you put all that together, you have an inconsistent performance.
I will tell you this, though. Nick's progression has been really encouraging, and this kid is not a flash in the pan to me. He is a very good, young, ascending quarterback. Mm-hmm. And the things that we're talking about, holding on to the football too long, ball sailing, these are correctable,
very correctable
parts of his game.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you brought this up. You know, people started with Nick Foles, always an ex-Bobby Hoying. You just talked about it. All the good traits he has are something that he'll carry for the rest of his career. The issues that he has are basically with mechanics. It's just squaring his shoulders up. That is a problem that's constant with him. When he's off, it's not stepping into his throws. Now, he makes a great throw like that, which surprises us. Who would think a guy that big could throw on the run like he does? He's a smart quarterback, and he's got the great attitude. He takes it on himself. I love what he says in his press conferences. Hey, I could have played better. He doesn't blame anyone else. That is what a leader does at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I really very, very encouraged with Nick Foles to see the tremendous season he's having, still leading the NFL in quarterback rating at 117, an outside chance to catch the all-time record at, I believe it's 122.5, but 23 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Now we'll see him against the Bears, and we'll talk about that Bears defense a little later on. DeSean Jackson has just had a magnificent season for the Eagles, 75 catches, 1,275 in receiving yards, 9 touchdowns, deep threat at him. Yes, the Eagles need to have the second option here, but when you consider what Jackson has done without Jeremy Maclin, without a true second receiver on the other side, and really, let me say, without a lot of production from Jason Avant, from Demaris Johnson, from Jeff Mail, Brad Smith, knowing the teams are paying a lot of attention to number 10, he's been sensational.
The difference this year, opposed to the rest of his career, the way the coaches use him, it's not wait, 7-step drop, throw it, Sean Jackson downfield. It's bubble screen. It's lining him up in the slot.
Lining up in the backfield.
Yeah,
you line up as a running back.
On a fly sweep.
The shallow crosses.
Right, but you just talked about in the backfield. That's to the bubble screen or to the wheel route. So I love the way that they're using him, and this is good coaching by the coaches here.
Now, as far as the running game goes, look, the Vikings went into this game. We heard Pat Shurmur talk about this earlier with 3 cornerbacks down. So the idea here was to throw the football. That meant LeSean McCoy's workday might not be quite as busy as it was the week before against Detroit. And it turned out to be the case. McCoy, 8 carries. Although there were some times when Nick kept the ball on that read option look when the call could have gone to LeSean McCoy. But he had some good production in the pass game, Adam. The way I look at McCoy is, look, they have to give him the football a lot against Chicago and in Dallas. I mean, he's just too good.
Yeah, and it's not like, Dave, they're getting blown out. They were never getting blown out. One of the things I admire about Chip is in other games where they were down, they would still stay the course with the run game, and that's what you have to do. And you look at it, running backs have always told me this. It's not those first 5, 6, 7 carries. It's the next set when they start wearing down the defense and they start getting into a rhythm. The problem with here was that he was never given a chance to get in the rhythm. And it's the one time that I would disagree with Chip. You got to kind of stay the course with the running game, which he's done all season. I don't have an answer why he didn't do it in this game.
Well, I think the reason is we take a look at LeSean's numbers for the season. They are sensational with 5 yards per carry. He's got 1,850 yards of total offense. He's going to break the 2,000 mark. I mean, he's just been an MVP candidate. I think they wanted to attack the Minnesota pass defense.
I get it. You and I talked about last week. What's it look like with the Vikings here? Well, they start a 5th corner in Sean Prater, who would have been inactive if all their corners were healthy. He had to start. I get that part of it. You attack him. That doesn't mean you throw the ball 50 times, especially when the game is close. You play the way that you play every week. You don't change it. You just expect to have more success, which they did, not until the 4th quarter, however.
So those are your total numbers. Now, the Eagles' defense did not play a good football game, and they know it, and Bill Davis talked about it this morning. It was difficult to see. Now, there was no Adrian Peterson. There was no Toby Gerhardt. So the run defense, Adam, was okay. I thought they could have been better. I thought they missed some tackles behind the line of scrimmage. What did you see?
A couple things that bothered me, and you talked about the missed tackles. Yards after contact in the passing game and yards after the catch. They were sloppy with their tackling at times in this game, which had not been a problem. And also, which we didn't mention, the 9 penalties. Just not good, wrong times, undisciplined. It surprised me because Eagles have been a very good road team. They were 5-1 coming to this game. And I thought overall, and Chip kind of alluded to it when he was asked on Monday, I don't have an answer for it. Why it happened, no one knows. But totally uncharacteristic of the football team.
So that was the Vikings and their run offense. Now the Matt Castle-led Minnesota passing game just carved up the Eagles. And Bradley Fletcher really taking a lot of the brunt of this. He was thrown at 10 times. 8 completions. The Vikings did as they wanted against the Eagles, not only on the edges, and Castle made some great throws, but they really hurt him. And there's Fletcher. Bradley Fletcher has been very solid this year. A big-time struggle here against the Vikings, and he's got to be a lot better. They all have to be a lot better against Chicago.
David, I also would say, though, based on the schematics of this past game, they were giving a lot of room up underneath, sometimes 12, 15 yards, and it's hard to close when you're giving up so much room. And they were doing what they always do. They were not going to give up big plays, but they had the one big play by Castle, which was a, you were there. You saw a superhuman play. Great job by Castle there.
Steps
to hang
up
in the
away
pocket.
From on a third and 12. It steps up away from Cole. Steps away from Barwin. Completes the pass to Chase Ford, who was covered well by Michael Kendricks, and the pass was just perfect.
It was a great pass, but you could see it here with Castle. With these shots from the field. He got rid of it quickly, and that was a great job by him and their coaching staff and Bill Musgrave, who designed a good scheme for this game.
We'll talk a little bit here in the next segment, Adam, about the Bears. The challenge gets even greater. As good as Greg Jennings and Cordero Patterson and Jerome Simpson and that crew, the Bears offer a totally different level of competition.
Size and speed.
Size, speed, and versatility. Now, the Eagles special teams, Adam, I haven't talked to you about this.
Yes.
The kickoff strategy. Alex Henry, a nice job. Field goals, he was 3 of 3, including a career-tying 51-yarder. The kickoff strategy was to keep it out of Patterson's hands. So Henry was instructed to kick the pooch punt, the pooch kicks, the mortar kicks, landing at about the 20, 25-yard line, designed to keep the ball out of Patterson's hands. It resulted in the Vikings at times having some really favorable field position.
Yeah, I think I've heard Chip's explanation about how Henry wasn't quite booming them in pregame. That's fine. And it was actually working for the first half into the third quarter. Then they had a couple that didn't work so well. So it was questionable. Now we'll see what they want to do against Devin Hester this week. That's the question.
Yeah, and, you know, you watch the Monday Night Football game last night. And the Lions go down the field. They score a touchdown to win, to take the lead. And then the kickoff goes to Jacoby Jones, and he returns it to the 37-yard line. And the the Ravens are in business to go and score the winning points. So, you know, you got to cover the kicks. You have to execute it. It's interesting to me how 2 years ago we were talking about how the kickoff was done. It was going to be out of the game. This is how quickly adaptations, adjustments are made in the NFL. The kickoff return is now a serious weapon.
Yeah, and Chip talked about that this guy is so dangerous. If there's just 1 yard to spare right in the back of the end zone, he'll take it out. That was their biggest concern. I get it.
Yeah.
I understand why he did.
Do you think ultimately, Adam, that the Eagles just didn't have that urgency, that focus? Did they take the Vikings too lightly?
That is the part, because we're not at practice, so we don't know exactly what went on. But I could tell you this. It seemed like there was a little bit of overconfidence, which, in a way, you like to have confidence going to a game, but could there be too much confidence? Maybe so. But they were brought down to earth. That was a bad performance, and they've got a major game this week. So I think that'll be out the door. But the one thing that you touched on passing, this team has responded to adversity very well this season, especially being for a young team. Now they come back where they played well at home of late. Let's see how they respond.
Yeah, maybe it's a wake-up call, and the Eagles get the message and go out and play their best game of the season on Sunday night. That is what we are hoping for as the Chicago Bears come to town, and we'll take a look at the 8-6 Bears. On the other side here, Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan. It's Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We'll get your call shortly. We're coming right back.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most high sports. Xfinity.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
Wait.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
All right, it's time to talk about the Chicago Bears. Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan here. And this is a Bears team that is loaded offensively, that's had some problems defensively, but still, as they enter the Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday night, they lead the NFC North, and they are playing some confident football. Adam, tell us about the Bears.
Well, Jay Cutler's back behind center. He kind of hung in there coming back for his high ankle sprain. One of the strongest arms in the National Football League. Problem is he's not very mobile, and the problems he's had in the past is standing there and not getting the football and getting hit. He had two injuries this season, but he's kind of hung in there, and he played very well last week. Very strong quarterback, very good football player.
And you look at some of the weapons here. Matt Forte, a running back who is outstanding wherever he is on the field. 1,200 rushing yards. He's also a threat in the passing game. And Adam, they use him in a lot of different ways. This will be, really be a challenge to Bill Davis's defense and the scheme. And how do you contain Matt Forte?
I would liken him to a young Dorsey Levens. Tremendous versatility, a big back at 6'2". Does it everywhere. He's not explosive, but he sets up his offensive line well. Tremendous versatility. You're not worried so much about him because he's not a big play running back, but he's got a great versatility. Doesn't make mistakes. Doesn't turn it over. Good football player.
Yeah, look at those numbers. 66 catches, 522 yards in the receiving game. At the quarterback position, there's been so much talk, Adam, about Jay Cutler, about McCown, Josh McCown, who replaced Cutler, who's played very well. The Bears were sparked by McCown, who was a school teacher a couple of years ago. Let's discuss this. Is there any animosity at all as we look at the comparison between Jay Cutler and Josh McCown?
No, although I know there was an ESPN report about how some of the building was cut, undecided whether it should be Cutler or McCown. But the bottom line is they both functioned very, very well in head coach Mark Trestman's West Coast system. McCown's way more athletic. Here's a guy covering the O2 Senior Bowl. McCown would be actually going to coaching had he not come back this year, and it's been a great story. But the bottom line is, Cutler is way more talented. He's got an absolute rifle. That's why they've gone back to him.
And Cutler is somebody who will stand in there against pressure, and he'll be a gunslinger. And we saw last week against the Vikings, Matt Castle, a gunslinger, made a lot of plays down the field.
Yes.
That's what this Eagles pass defense can expect.
Yeah, and Cutler, again, doesn't move all that well. The biggest problem with passes is he holds onto it, takes too many hits. He's had a lot of injuries. So the bottom line is, Dave, here, it's up to the Eagles to make him throw the football before he wants to. If they do that, that's when they turn it over.
And the Chicago Bears come to town with big, strong, versatile wide receivers who make just so many plays, make life easier on those throws up the field and you go up and get them. Alshon Jeffrey's already had two games of 200-plus yards this year. He has emerged as a huge threat. And what can you tell us about Alshon Jeffrey?
Big physical receiver who will go up and get the football. He's a guy that is not a speedster, but he probably runs a little bit better than you think. He's a long strider, which makes him look like he's not as fast as he actually really is. He's been big time. He doesn't drop any passes, really. He's great running after the catch, and I love the way he tacks the football. That is the biggest issue the Eagles' DBs will have. How are they going to stop him from getting the football? They've got to do that.
And it's not just Jeffrey. It's Brandon Marshall. Look at those numbers. 90 catches, 1,185 yards. And he's got 10, count him, 10 touchdowns. Martellus Bennett
is also. Don't forget about him.
Yeah, but Marshall is somebody certainly in the red zone who you really have to worry about. And fortunately, the Eagles have some big cornerbacks to match up.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting when you talk about matchup. How are they going to cover these guys? You just can't cover one. Marshall's always the guy you double. Now with the emergence of Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett, who's having a breakout season, headed for about 67 receptions. Wow, that's a tough trio to beat.
Yeah, athletic tight end, somebody the Eagles are going to have to work with. Down the field also, he's not just a short yardage target, is he?
No, Jeffrey will get downfield. Don't forget about Earl Bennett, their slot receiver. But this one here,
Martellus Bennett is
a beast. It's 6'7", always known as a blocker with the Dallas Cowboys. They're letting him catch the football here. He's tough to cover, man. He's really big.
Will they at times, Adam, spread it out with four receivers, bring in Earl Bennett, and again, another big receiver in the slot.
Yeah, it's actually going to – they don't really use a fourth receiver. It's Earl Bennett, who you said, is their slot receiver. Plus, Martellus Bennett, they'll actually have him out wide.
Yeah.
And he could run for a guy who's 6 foot seven. He could run.
Yeah, so it's no really – I'm not quite sure how this banged-up secondary is going to fare.
It's going to be hard.
You know, the Eagles hoping to get Earl Wolfe back on the field on Sunday. Bill Davis is going to have to come up with something very creative against this group.
Yeah, but the one thing, no matter who the Eagles have faced this season, they're great at not letting the ball get downfield no matter who their opponent is.
Let's go back to Matt Forte because I think he's the key in this equation. Is the focus, Adam, to stop the run game first?
It's a great question. To me, Matt Forte is more dangerous as a receiver, if you ask me, than he is as a runner. Matt Forte, yes, 4.7 yards per carry. Very good for a guy like that. But the bottom line is their pass game is lethal. It doesn't matter who their quarterback seems to be. But Forte is so versatile, and you don't always know where they're going to line him up. They'll line him up in the slot as well. I love the way that Mark Trestman uses him. He does a great job of doing this.
And Forte has done it all season. He's had some big games against some Eagles opponents, some common opponents here. He just is so critically important to that
great vision,
offense.
Dave. Look at that vision.
Yeah, he runs sets his power. Path.
Yeah. Their offensive line, we should also mention, really improved with Kyle Long, the former Argon player, Chip Kelly coach.
First-round draft pick.
Yeah, and the son of Howie Long. But Matt Forte, one of my favorite players in the league, covered him at the Senior Bowl from Tulane. He's been a great story, and he got a contract extension a couple years ago because he's a very good football player.
And the kicking game, solid with Robbie Gould as the place kicker. The return game, obviously, Devin Hester, always a threat.
Yep.
The Chicago Bears coming to town on Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, and they are a big-time team. Eagles have to bring their A game to win this one.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Let's get it. Let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more championship. Let's go.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power. It's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Happy holidays, Eagles fans.
Two games remain in this 2013 regular season, so let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule. Presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. Is it going down to that last game, Adam?
Yes.
Yes!
And it counts.
I just hope you pick against the Eagles because you
I will be, my friend.
Are horrible.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for support.
You got it right three Thank times you. This year?
It's terrible. It's embarrassing.
That's okay. So you're picking, obviously, the Bears to beat the Eagles.
Oh, absolutely.
And the Cowboys to beat the Eagles?
No.
Sean Lee's not going to play the rest of the year, is he?
They've got injury problems, my friend. They've got
How about their brains? What's their What kind of pain in the membrane do they have?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. They are struggling mightily on both sides of the football. The owner, who I'm a big Jerry Jones fan, but leave it to him to support coaches who are failing. So he can keep doing that. But the bottom line is I think the Cowboys are headed to a coaching change after the season.
Yeah, well, the NFC East is certainly in a state of flux.
Yes.
Tough Sunday for the division last week, 0-4, and hopefully I don't care about the other teams. Let's just – Redskins win, Eagles win. That's all that matters.
Redskins play. I'll tell you what, they have not quit on Mike Shanahan. They should have won that game last week.
Right.
They had
seven turnovers.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Seven turnovers, and they went for the two-point conversion.
Kirk Cousins playing very well. I think he's a guy that the more he plays, I think he's going to get more confidence. And Dallas defense is struggling mightily. At cornerback, they worked three guys out yesterday. They're in major trouble at cornerback.
Might the Redskins trade a quarterback in the offseason? I mean, probably get RG3 for a third or fourth round pick, right, at this point?
I don't think so. I think he yielded more than that. Although he's had two ACLs.
Yeah, let's take a phone call here, or six. Starting with Shannon in Fort Lauderdale. We'll take a look at the Eagles in their training session in the bubble today. Chilly day here in South Philadelphia. Although game day, they're saying 60 degrees on game day.
Could have rained.
In the 40s game night. So
how about that?
What a turnaround here. Shannon in Fort Lauderdale joins us. Shannon, nearly the host of Eagles Live, but dreams die hard, Shannon.
Huh. I don't know about
that's
that.
That's all right, man. I'm going to get there soon enough, man. But good.
I think the Eagles will win 7-3.
And Adam.
What's
but
up,
listen,
man?
I'm going to tell you a couple of things you guys already know, and I'm going to tell you some things I think you may not know. Nick Foles is definitely still a good quarterback. We need to get some insurance policies on Patrick Chung because he's definitely a liability. And I believe that our offense is better than Chicago. This is why we're going to win. Our defense is better than Chicago. Special teams probably is a wash. But I don't see the birds. I think it's going to be close in the beginning, but I think Cutler is prone to interceptions. We got to put pressure on him. What's his name? Cassell? He came in comfortable. We didn't put any pressure on him until
Eagles, they did, but he did a really good job working the pocket. They rolled him out of the pocket. And he also got rid of the football really quickly, Shannon. I mean, the Eagles, they were beaten by an offense that played a great game. They played a great game. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Minnesota Vikings.
You think we need it? I mean, of course I would have rather won, but maybe it's like, you know, like you asked the question, Dave. Can they handle prosperity? Well, maybe next time they get their next check, they won't just go spend it all.
Well,
you know, maybe they'll be more
conservative. It's hard to win, you know, long winning streaks in the NFL. And the Eagles had a 5-game winning streak. As much as we all wanted it to happen, they were not going to win 8 in a row. So if there was a game to lose, the Vikings game is fine. I mean, then you're still in control of the destiny. Win on Sunday, and then we'll see what happens.
I got a score for you, Dave.
Yes, please.
We're going to play. I'm going to tell you right now. We're going to play the San Francisco 49ers, and we will beat them in a wild card game. I'm telling you that right now.
Give me the score for Sunday. Listen, I'm not talking about the playoffs.
Score for Sunday is 31-17. The birds are flying high, baby.
Shannon, thank you for the phone call. You know, the thing I guess I would maybe disagree with that the Eagles' offense is better than the Bears' offense, and
ooh,
taking nothing away from the Eagles offense, I just think the Bears offense is legit.
Well, what they have is more passing options, more developed passing options, just because we mentioned it. Jeffrey, the Bennetts, Brandon Marshall, you just don't find this. And Matt Forte, it's going to be a major challenge here. But Dave, I'll tell you, other than the Denver game and obviously this game, the Eagles have done a good job of, even when other teams have a lot of passing options, the scheme and the carry out by the defenders has been pretty good. This last game, who knows, but let's see if they bounce back.
All right, let's take another phone call. Jeff in West Virginia joins us. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dave.
Welcome.
How you doing?
Great, man. How are you?
What's up, man? How are you?
All right. Hey.
Yes.
I'm really concerned about this game here. I think their defense is going to have to play a whole lot better than they did against Minnesota to win this game.
I'm with you, Jeff. We all know that. The Eagles, again, we are taking the tact here that it was a wake-up call and one of those games. You have those kinds of games. But the Eagles' defense, I'll take the sample of 9 straight games of 21 points or less rather than the one game with 48 points allowed.
Yeah. What do you think about them maybe running Demaryius Johnson on an end around?
Yeah, you know, Demaryius Johnson's disappointing. He had the one opportunity on Sunday and tripped and fell, and it's been a tough year for Demaryius. I mean, I don't know. I expected a lot from him. I expected more from Bryce Brown. I expected more from James Casey, who is caught in a number situation. But No, if I'm going to run an end around, I'm going to give it to Brad Smith. I'm going to give it to DeSean Jackson. DeMarcus Johnson's not as high up on my list.
Yeah, in fact, we didn't even talk about that. Yeah. That double verse was beautiful.
Wow. Beautiful call. Yeah.
Awesome call. Totally had them by surprise. Unfortunately, Nick Foles took a penalty.
They need to get Brent Celek more involved in the passing game, too. I think he's a beast. They need to get him the ball.
You know, look, they need to score touchdowns in the red zone. They didn't do that on Sunday, and that cost them the game. Give me your prediction for this game.
I'm going to say 34-24 Eagles.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for the call. I don't have a problem with where the Eagles went with the football on Sunday or all season where they've gone with the ball. I think when you look at the pieces, they've done a pretty good job offensively. I expect in the offseason more wide receivers to come in.
Absolutely, no question.
You know, maybe more competition at running back. Certainly more competition along the offensive line. You want to build some depth there. This is going to grow and grow and grow. The system is going to work. The pieces are here for now, but this should only get better.
Yeah, I think the receiver position, if you want to start there on offense, that's where you need to go. They've got Macklin and Cooper on signed. Who else do they have, really, other than that?
Brad Smith is signed, but he's a piece, he's a work-in piece.
He's got a pretty nice contract they gave him, so they would have to make a decision on his deal. So bottom line is that's an area they're going to look at. And it's just also, for the first year, they're way ahead of schedule. It's having a full offseason of knowledge of this offense. They'll just get better. The issue now is then what can they do going into next season? What else can they add? What more could they add? And they seem to do something different every week, and I kind of like that.
Just because the fans are always interested in the draft, any chance that if the Eagles were drafting around 22, whatever, that they'd go wide receiver first round?
Got to see who's coming out. The date for underclassmen to declare is January 15th, and this could be a very interesting group at wide receiver. Doesn't look like a quarterback is going to be as deep, but wide receiver is very interesting with size and speed.
Okay. Let's go to Atlantic City and talk to Mark, who joins us on Eagles Live. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not as upset as I was because Dallas kind of eased the pain, of course.
Yeah, with an epic performance.
But I got to admit, Dave, that last game I saw some old tendencies of our old team, and I didn't like it, man. I felt like the whole not kicking to Cordell Patterson was a joke, because I feel like kind of like the bully complex. Like when you fear someone, you know they like 50% beat you already. Like make him beat us. Prove that he can beat our kickoff routine.
I get what you mean, Mark. I get it. Yeah,
I don't care what he did to you know other teams. Make him do that to us. And don't just just make your kickoff team. You know, it seemed like he just didn't believe in our kickoff defense.
Mark, what you're saying is Duncan thinking you might fail. But what Chip's saying is we're not even give this guy a chance to beat us. I get everyone's. I'm sort of leaning a little small to Chip on this one, but. You know, did Jeremy Ross success?
One of the problems here, Mark, is that the Eagles' defense just couldn't get off the field. And
But Dave, our defense was struggling. He kept kicking short field goals, putting our defense in a bad predicament. Our defense was struggling.
Yeah, the defense
like, come
was
on,
poor.
That, yep. That's coaching.
Well, Mark. I got to be honest with you. Let's put that game aside. I would be shocked if the Eagles had that strategy again.
Okay, now one thing before I go, Dave.
Yeah, you got to give me a prediction, too.
Okay, I want to say kudos to Benny Logan because he was playing his butt off.
Yes, he
Benny
has.
Benny Logan had a hell of a game. And predictions I give you, I want to go 21-17. Go Eagles.
All right, Mark, thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, that strategy wasn't popular with fans. But Chip would point out that the average drive start after a kickoff by the Vikings was the 33. Believe so. In that, I think it was the respect they had
for Patterson.
If you want to call it over respect, it was.
He's unique, and remember though, when the guy's taking it out with 1 yard to spare, that tells you how aggressive he is, and he's the best returner in the game right now.
Yeah. When we return to Eagles Live, Adam and I will take some more phone calls. We'll also wrap up the press conferences from this morning. Pat Shurmur and Bill Davis. It's a Tuesday here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're coming right back.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done. Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 max, 6 chances, 5 cash fives, 4 big fours, 3 daily numbers, 2 mega millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it. Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
Knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
Reminder that Nick Foles and DeSean Jackson speak to the media after practice at about 1:15, both coming off big number games against the Minnesota Vikings. Both have had really outstanding seasons. So as they get ready for the Chicago Bears, certainly worth a watch and a listen to those two players who you'd think are going to have to put up some big numbers again to beat the Chicago Bears. I'm not expecting a 10-7 game here.
I totally agree. It should be a high-scoring game, a fun game. And one where there's going to be some ebbs and flows because the Bears could flat out sling it with Jay Cutler, but so can the Eagles. This could be fun. Hey, this is a fun game with two big-time quarterbacks right now. The way that Foles has been playing for the most part this season, you fully expect them to put up a lot of points.
All right, let's go to Mario in San Francisco who joins us in Eagles Live. Hey, Mario.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
All right.
I'm not upset as most people are and really shouldn't be because, remember, we didn't even expect the Eagles to be where they are. But first of all, both you and Adam answered two of my basic questions on the wide receiver. And the other thing is that what I'm concerned about is that we're giving up too many yards to the wide receivers. You got to play more press coverage because if you look at the game Sunday, our backs were like, 6 to 7 yards off these receivers. So even though this guy Castle got rid of the ball quickly, when the wide receivers have 4 or 5 yards to run while the ball is even in the air, I mean, it gives us a hard time. Then another thing about the kicking game is that, look, Henry made the field goal, from 51 yards, which would have been good at 60. So I want Adam to answer that question.
Yeah, Mario, first of all, I think if you watch the Eagles this season, they play a lot of off coverage. They're not going to give up the big play. That's their whole deal. Castle had the one big play to Jennings, but they also mix them up. You see some press man, you see some off coverage. It's nothing that they haven't done before. It's just that this game, not only did they give up yardage, they gave up yards after the catch, way too much of it, where a guy would turn on a dime and get upfield. So Jarius Wright, who we didn't mention earlier, we need to mention him. He did a great job.
A good job, yep.
Jennings was terrific. Cordell Patterson had his game. I mean, the Eagles just did not play well defensively, especially in the secondary.
Yeah, so let's hope they wake up here and play physical and play focused and play urgent football. I certainly think that they can stick with him talent-wise. I mean, I don't think they're going to shut down Jeffrey and shut down Marshall, but you know, you want to contain the Bears and basically try to outscore them.
It's a major challenge for the Eagles coaches. Yeah. There's no question about that.
Let's keep Patrick Chung off the field, please. Keep that guy off the field.
He has not been as consistent, I think, as we expected him to be, as we hoped he would be. And we'll see. They want to rotate the safeties. Earl Wolf back at practice today. But the bottom line here, Mario, they've got a lot of injuries. Boykin not practicing today. Colt Anderson not practicing today. And neither is Kirk Coleman.
What about putting Carmichael back as one of the safeties?
No, he's a cornerback. No. He's your fourth cornerback. And Boykin's not practicing. He might be your third cornerback. And the Eagles would be severely challenged in the slot if Boykin doesn't play.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're 100% right about that.
Give me a prediction.
Sunday, how's the weather going to be back there?
It's going to be nice. Might be a little wet, but it'll be warm.
Let's see what the wind is, though.
I'll say Eagles 33, Chicago 29. I think Henry's going to kick the winning field goal.
Okay, well, that'd be a nice four-point field goal there. But, Mario, thanks very much for that.
Safeties. Come on, what are you talking about?
Actually, it's like fantasy football. If it's over 45 yards, he gets 4 points for it.
Right.
Biggest challenge for the Eagles in this one, Adam. Is it the defense matching up against the Bears?
Yeah, because I think the Eagles will score plenty on the Bears. Bears have major injury issues.
Get us up to speed on the Bears' injuries. Lance Briggs might come back.
They're 33-year-old weak side linebacker with a broken shoulder. They think he's going to be ready this week, but then it comes down to this. How much could he play? He's been out for almost 2 months. At corner, they lost Charles Tillman, their best corner, who I think will be a Hall of Famer someday. Unbelievable stripping the football. They're not going to bring him back. They've decided even if they made the playoffs, they're not going to bring him back. Then you've got Henry Melton, who's put on injured reserve, who's one of the best defensive tackles in the National Football League. His backup, Nate Collins, ironically tore his ACL as well. They've got big issues here.
Any injuries lingering from Sunday's game?
I don't know yet, but I would tell you this. Cornerback is a problem for them. They're not really deep. Safety, they've not played well. You talk about the Eagles' safety struggling. They've struggled at safety. This, to me, speaks of, and I would agree, a high-scoring game. But the bottom line is they've got to figure out some way to take Jay Cutler off his mark. If they play the kind of defense they played against Minnesota, they'll give up 50.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
All right, let's go to Zompe, the Zompster, Zompola. Welcome to the show, Zompe.
How about those Birds, baby?
Thank you.
How are you? What's up, man?
I'm glad you've rebounded from the loss. I know the Cowboys game was somewhat of a remedy for you.
Oh, man, let me tell you, man. Sunday I was acting like a little baby, and then all of a sudden after that game, I was on cloud nine after that, man. But it helped, but... still no excuse, but I'm over the Vikings game, man. That's why I didn't call in yesterday. I needed a day to let it out, you know?
I hear you.
I think this Chicago game is a very tough game. Containing Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffery is definitely going to be a problem for us. But in my opinion, I think we got to win, which is every game, the line of scrimmage. I think Jason Peters, Jared Allen got the best out of him. So now he's got to go up against Peppers. I think that's a huge matchup for Jason Peters. Nick Foles, I mean, he didn't have a great game. You know, he missed some throws, but he still had 428 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Imagine if he was on, in my opinion. But I think, like I said, this is a tough test. We're at home. That was a traditional trap game. I'm going to say Birds 24, Chicago 23. And I think Washington's going to upset the Dallas Cowboys, and we're going to be division champs come Sunday, baby.
Give me one. Come on.
You hate this, and I'm not working. If I get fired, the hell with it. How about those Birds, baby? E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Love you, Zompy. Thank you. Ha ha!
I'll talk to you later, baby.
All right, thanks, Zompy. All right, let's go to Pat Shurmur, Eagles offensive coordinator, who met the media this morning. And once more, consistency, more points, more touchdowns from the offense.
Last week's game, of course, we didn't play well enough to win. We didn't make enough plays. They made more plays than us. That was our game. We didn't play it well. We lost and we owned it. We were behind, as you know. And we felt like we had favorable matchups throwing the football as well. They were down to their fourth and fifth corner. So, you know, I think that plays into it. Then there were a couple times when we certainly might have handed him the ball where Nick pulled it. A couple times where runs were called where we threw bubbles. So, you know, there's a lot going on there. And so when you just kind of look at it after the game on one piece of paper, there's also the rest of the story. I think this game is about scoring points. That's what this game's about. And, you know, you can hold the ball. You know, we've seen teams that have tried to go against explosive offenses and you hold the ball. And then all of a sudden you kick a field goal. And then they get back on the field and then in two plays score a touchdown. The last time I checked, you're down 7-3. So I guess my point is those are all things that get talked about after. And I think what's important is that we're efficient. You want to advance the football efficiently, which means you're getting first downs, which means you're probably getting more plays. And then aside from that, you want to score points. And I think there's times when you score a touchdown on one or two plays in a drive where that's just as good as running it for a bunch of times. And, you know, we just – it's about points.
All right, defensive coordinator Bill Davis also meeting the media, wants a much better performance this week than on Sunday in Minnesota.
Well, I think all of us realize that going in that fourth quarter, we did not play our best game up to that point. But even having not played our best game in that fourth quarter, I believe it was the 3rd and 14, we still had an opportunity to make plays and turn that game to where we could win it, even though we weren't playing at our best. And we kind of had a couple things go wrong, and multiple people lost their composure. I wasn't the most composed up in the box either as it was starting to unravel. So all of us had a lesson to learn there that the game is tight. The NFL, adversity hits. You've got to be able to overcome adversity and handle it. And I think collectively we all learned that we can do better and have to do better or bad things happen in the fourth quarter. We gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter when we shouldn't have. And part of it was a composure. We gave up way too many big plays, X plays. I believe there were 6 X plays of over 20. Now, if I'm not mistaken, 3 of them were thrown for 20-plus yards, and we did not make those plays. And the other were thrown under 20 yards, and we missed tackles, and they became big plays. There was 2 pass interference calls. In the past, we really hadn't been getting a lot of those called against us, and they were good calls. We were wrong. We did interfere, and it put them all the way down inside the goal line. So we did not take care of keeping the big pass off of us like we had been. You know, and we only had 1 turnover, where in the past we were having a couple more. But the biggest part of that game, the disappointment that we had, was the big plays, both through missed tackles and, you know, a couple of them. The one on Fletcher down the sideline was a great throw and catch, and Fletcher was there, and that's NFL play. It happens. So you're going to have some of those happen, and you got to line up and play the next snap.
All right, Adam, let's talk a little bit about this game. The Eagles defense, we've talked about that, the challenge they have. Eagles offense against the Bears, thin at cornerback. The safeties haven't played well. Lance Briggs could come back.
Yep.
What else can you tell us?
Don't forget they're playing a young quarter, middle linebacker, Jonathan Bostic, who took over for the retired Brian Urlacher. And because of their injuries on the D-line, they've moved Corey Wooten, who's usually been a defensive end, a good rotational backup. Now he's playing D-tackle. And Jay Ratliff started last week. How about that? Of all people, he's back.
Is he playing well?
He played a lot of snaps, played way more than I thought. Well is a relative word, but he's healthy, and that's the key. He's over the groin problem. So they've got a pretty interesting defensive line, very athletic and fast. And we talked about Julius Peppers, but Wooten could rush. Shea McClellan, their former first-round pick. It's a very interesting D-line. Not a lot of depth, but good athleticism.
All right, well, we'll see what the Eagles come up with between now and Sunday. We'll hear from Nick Foles here in just a few moments, so make sure you're with us. At about 1:15, Nick Foles, DeSean Jackson, meeting the media. And if you are not following us on Twitter, at Eagles Shows, we ask you to do so now. We're giving away wonderful Eagles autographed merchandise every time we hit 1,000 mark. So for the 2,000 followers mark, we gave away a LeSean McCoy autographed mini helmet. We've got another one of them for you. We'll pick at random once we hit the 3,000 mark. So follow us today on Twitter at Eagles Shows and follow what we're doing not only throughout the regular season, the playoffs, the offseason. We're live all the time here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Adam, thanks for joining us
today.
Thank
you. Playoffs, you said. I heard you say that.
Playoffs. I'm not talking playoffs.
Okay, but you're just saying playoffs.
We'll see you on Sunday. Adam Kaplan, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us on Eagles Live today. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.